road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome to The Drive on this fabulous sort of semi-rainy day commute home from Stillwater to Oklahoma City. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your feedback and encouragement as I continue to work through exactly how I would love this podcast to work out in my mind. I appreciate you listening and taking your time out of your day. Today's conversation kind of comes from the Oklahoma Education Twitter chat that I missed on Sunday. It was, I just lost track of time, which normally my attention at 8 o'clock is focused on TweetDeck and the hashtag OklaEd, but I just totally missed it, and I hopped in on the last 15 minutes, and I'm so thankful that I did, because the question they were talking about was literacy. But before I get into that, if you're a teacher and you're listening to this, and you're not on Twitter, you really are missing out on the opportunity to grow professionally, to get ideas, and to see perspective from very many views. And all those views are not necessarily views you would agree with, but they provide perspective on a lot of things that happen in education. And no matter where you're at in the world, if you're listening to this podcast, I encourage you to tune in to the OklaEd Twitter chat. It's on Sundays from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time here in the United States. And it truly is a dynamic chat full of educators, administrators, college professors, parents, community. There's a wide swath of people that participate. And it really is a dynamic conversation. And it's one of the fastest hours of my week. I can't imagine getting through the week. I can't imagine what I did before the OklaEd Twitter chat, to be honest. And I love it. And I know there's other chats that are great, but you should really think about this one, because the issues that we talk about, the things that come up generally, are things that just apply to education in general and not necessarily just to our unique situation in Oklahoma. So the chat was about literacy, and I just caught the very end of it. But one of the things that is so important is to understand how the entire child learns through not just reading and not just math. Those are critical elements, and I'm not trying to shortchange those at all. They're super important to be able to do that. You have to understand how a checkbook works. So in order to understand your checkbook when you're a big person, you've got to understand how math goes. You've got to understand, you got to be able to read different things to communicate or whatever. I get that. But I was reading a blog post by a music teacher. Her name is Megan, and she wrote this excellent blog post about how she could use her music class to help the reading teacher, but, and this was where I thought she had some very good points, don't expect her to be a reading strategies teacher. That's not where she's trained. And I think she's onto something there, because she has trained and worked hard and practiced the art and craft of music, and specifically music education. She works with middle school choir, and so that's where her passion is. That's what she understands. Don't waste precious reading time, in my opinion. Don't waste that precious reading time with her. She has talents that go another direction than that. And so I think trying to understand how reading strategies, for example, are best taught by somebody who is very familiar with how reading works. As a math teacher in high school, I'm not a reading person. I understand some of the things that can help. I know reading is important. But if you were to ask me to teach some specific reading comprehension strategies, I would struggle with that. That's not what I studied. But I know that there are reading geniuses who are brilliant at that. And if they can share with me a couple of things that I can apply to my practice with my students, then I would love to be able to help my students become stronger readers through comprehension of math. Just like Megan indicated, she would love to help her students become stronger readers through their comprehension of music. And there's some important crossover between music and reading. And I'm comparing these two things because that's kind of what I've been thinking on over this past week. I know there's another Okla Ed blogger, Mindy, who is also a music teacher in Oklahoma City area, and she has also commented a few times on how important the music is to the overall development of a student as they move through school. And both of these ladies have suggested, you know, they're training kids to become, they're teaching children and young adults to become musicians, to love the music. And that's so critical, because if you just stop for a minute and you look back and look around you and just think, there's no art. Imagine a world with no art. Imagine a world with no music. And just think about that for a minute. What would that world look like? How would that world be different than what we have right now? And one of the things that's occurring throughout the United States is with this issue of funding education, so many of these art classes and music classes and other classes that are great for students, they're starting to disappear. So are you comfortable with living in that world? And I don't know if there's an answer for that. I love music. I think it's super important to teach, because how else will you become an expert musician if you don't take time to learn how to play a music, or if you don't take time to learn how music is developed, or if you don't take time to learn how music goes together? And I think it's super important to be able to develop the whole student through that. Imagine a world of no art, with no art galleries, with no art displays, with no statue, with no... Some of the architecture that we have today is art. It's just amazingly beautiful. So imagine taking that completely out, and students are never exposed to that, ever. Not once through their whole journey through the education process. And I just think that is such an incredible waste. There's a lot of theory out there that says in order to be an expert at something, you need 10,000 hours of practice. And so I guess technically that would make me an expert teacher, although I am not. I have a lot of room to grow as a teacher, to be better, to be stronger, to be more capable. But look at some of the virtuoso musicians or artists and what they've been able to accomplish. They had to be introduced to that somewhere. They had to be introduced to it somewhere. But how do you introduce them to it if it's not there? And I think that talks about all of the different sorts of electives that we have available in our schools today, and with our computer science classes, and with all kinds of different things that that maybe are not now at the forefront because there's not enough teachers to teach. And as budgets are getting tighter, things are having to go away. Administrators are having to make very difficult decisions between do we offer an AP art course, or do we hire another English teacher? And that's a very difficult decision that has to be made. And so in this world that we live in, my question is, and I don't know if I have the answer, but how do we incorporate a world where we can continue to teach those electives that are so critical? They give students a very well-rounded education. They provide, we talk in school about providing real-life examples to things, and that can be really hard to do sometimes. But in these electives, those are real-life examples. And I'm not saying that high school kids don't already live real life. They do. Everything they do is real life. But sometimes when you get into the adult world and now you are buying a car, and some kids have already experienced this, you're buying a car, you're buying a house, you're budgeting for whatever, being able to read and do all that math is super critical. But you practice all of that in art. Art has a lot of mathematics in it. Music has a lot of mathematics in it. And both, and especially music, there's reading is super critical too. All three of my children play piano. They take piano lessons. And when we were trying to figure out what age to start them, one of the things that our piano teacher said was, Dina told us, she said, hey, the kids need to be able to read from left to right and understand what left and right mean. So before the kids started doing piano, we made sure that they understood how to read. That was critical. They didn't have to be expert readers, but they needed to understand kind of that process of reading. So with literacy, then being able to continue to allow electives for kids to practice some of those basic skills they have to have, I think is super, super important. And I think it's critical that we continue to find ways to offer those classes at all levels of the educational process. We just don't know what impact we're going to have unless we do that. But I guarantee you this, if we continue down the road that we're going, and if we continue to cut budgets, and if we continue to restrict teachers, and if we continue to tell teachers they have to do extra reading in their electives courses, then that electives course has been wasted, the time has been wasted, and the talents of that teacher have been wasted. And reading is critical. Yes, I agree. But is there a better way? Is there a way that we can do it so that we can incorporate all these elective classes? Is there a way that we can help the student grow as broadly as possible? And I don't know. One of the things that I think is really interesting that should be given some thought is what if we got away from a curriculum that was so narrowed and focused and into sort of classroom setup where students learned what they needed to learn in order to successfully complete a specific task, but a task that they were interested in. So, for example, let's say students wanted to build a bike. And so if they're going to build a bike, what do they need to do to build the bike? Well, they need to have certain things. They need to have certain skills. And one of those skills is math. And so they have to learn the math. They have to learn to divide their fractions. They have to learn to add their fractions. They have to learn to multiply and all those kinds of things. And maybe they're going to build from directions. So they need to be able to read those directions and understand how step 2 leads to step 3, which leads to step 4. And so by maybe putting that sort of classroom together, we allow them the opportunity to do that. I don't know. It's just something to think about. Some of these things are difficult, and I know that our life and our current situation is very challenging, but I just wonder, are we doing a disservice by not allowing these things to occur? Are we doing a disservice when there's such a strong emphasis on being able to pass a test that we take away time in those elective courses where students enjoy them and want to learn from them and want to do those different things? Because, you know, you take that elective because it's interesting to you. And sometimes you take an elective because your parents make you. But generally you take that elective because it's different enough from your quote-unquote core schedule that it provides an opportunity for you to explore some interest. And that can't possibly be bad. Thanks for listening to The Drive today. I appreciate it. If you have any thoughts on literacy or some things that maybe, you know, some solutions to offer, I don't know. Please don't hesitate to add them in the comments or to tweet me at @teachfromhere. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with a friend or colleague. You can find it on iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere you get a podcast. Hope you have a great day, and thanks for listening to The Drive. Remember, what you do is so critical and important. And people look up to you no matter, you know, whether you think they do or not. Your kids look up to you and they need you, and they want you to be the best that you can be. So be brilliant for them. Have a good day.